I want to do this. I've been in a teaching titled, I Love My Church. And I share with you that you would be amazed at how many people go to a church they don't necessarily love. It is something to show up at a place that you look forward to coming to. Look at somebody and say, I'm too grown for no substance. Yeah, if I'm going to give you one of my off days when I could be asleep, I need to receive something. And so I've been arguing this kind of theological thesis and holy hypothesis that you should not take your church for granted. That anytime you look forward to the sermon and look forward to the camaraderie, and y'all pray for us. Maybe it seems like nothing to you, but I'm leaving church. I preach to the teens sometime, and I preached to the teens last night. My girl and I are driving down South Miles going home. It's like 15 young cats walking home from teen church with coats not big enough and cold, trying to go home. We trying to figure out how to fit them all in the Range Rover, and I just couldn't do it. But we said we're going to have vans ready and all of that. Isn't it something? Mama used to pinch us and make us go. Now you got kids walking down a street with no sidewalk. Lean on somebody and say, I love my church. I love my church. I love my church. I don't want you to take that for granted. To that end, as we conclude this series, because next weekend is Thanksgiving weekend and we're going to shout our way out, mass choir singing, all that, those watching me downtown, watch this. Come close to me because I want you to catch this. When they had finished, John 21, verse 15. John 21, verse 15, NIV says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know I love you. I don't know if he said it like that, but you know. Jesus said, okay, then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Here's the one you know. You grew up on Sunday School 101, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. On the way to your seat, push three people and tell them, prove it. Prove it, prove it, prove it. Some of you who know my son, R.A. Vernon III, whatever else we've tried to teach all of our children, it is civility and a kind of honor for people, particularly those who are old enough to be your parents. So you won't really run into my children without them saying yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, particularly if you have authority over them, because that's really big in our house. So to see his civility and politeness now, you wouldn't believe how we used to be. Something as I watched him walk in my office with his Alpha Man shirt on and just crossed Alpha Phi Alpha and called me yesterday and told me that as soon as he crosses last week, the very next week they got him involved in a speaking contest on should millennials be concerned about social justice, six other Alpha young men speaking. He wins the contest yesterday. And so now he goes on to the regionals to represent Alpha Phi Alpha. If he wins that, he'll be speaking nationally and just crossed last week. As proud as I was, my wife and I couldn't help but laugh a little bit because we look back to a time when we were still trying to teach him to be the man that he is today. And I would be preaching someplace in California or someplace all across the world, and she would call me just crying on the phone, talking about, baby, come get him. I'ma beat him, I'ma hurt him. I said, baby, what is he doing? He won't do his homework, he talking back. I said, well, whoop him. She said, I didn't whoop him. I said, well, hit him. She says, I hit him. I said, well, shoot the nigga. Praise him, praise. God don't like ugly. Ain't crazy about pretty, praise God. I said, and what used to make her so upset is he would raise $100 worth of hell and then walk in her room 2 hours later talking about, mommy, I love you. And she said, she used to look back at him and say, well, prove it. Well, prove it. Prove it. Don't just hug me and kiss me and tell me you love me when I ask you to do something. Keep my commandments. Prove it. I guess in a very real sense, this little teaching on church spirit has been challenging in this sense. I guess today, I want to get to what I've been trying to get to for a month, and that is the challenging part. If we really love him, then let's show him. If we really love our church, This is the weekend to prove it. Okay, I've been setting you up. I'm going to keep it real. I've been setting you up for a month because this is ministry sign-up weekend. There are tens of persons on field two that are praying that you would frequent their table and look and see baptism and parking ministry and YF young followers kicking it with young people your age from 18 to 35 and mind ministry and singing on the stage ministry and security and parking lot. Just hoping you'll look and say, you know what? I'm going to sign up for this. I can't come all the time, but I'll give you one Sunday. And if I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And if I say I'm going to be there one Wednesday a month, you can count on that. We're trying to get people. We don't just want your money. We want you. Yeah, we need you. You play a major part. I think you'll love this particular Johannine text because Jesus says something to Pete that trips me out. He says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, look at this. See if I'm right. Son of John, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Again, the second time, Jesus said, do you love me? He says, of course I do. He says, then feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Imagine Jesus keep asking you, do you love me? You're looking like, what you mean? Do you see something I don't? Are you peeping something in my heart? I'm not peeping because I feel like I love you. You keep asking me, do I love you? Imagine Jesus asking you three times in a row, do you love me? That repetitiveness or redundancy would lead to a kind of ambivalence in you. Like, okay, maybe I think I love you. Yes, I love you. If you love me, he says, then keep my commandments. The Bible says Peter got upset thinking, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Then Jesus, feed my sheep. Drake, I don't know if you watch him, but before you ask Kiki, Jesus had already asked Pete, Kiki, do you love me? Stand beside me and watch Jesus, because Drake, I think you stole that from Jesus, because it's like, Pete, do you love me? Stand beside me. Said you never ever leave me, but you played me, then betrayed me. I'm just freestyling. Oh. For real, Drake, if you watching, man, some of them royalties got to go to Jesus. Tithe at the Word Church, 18909. Drake, get them royalties to Jesus, because you stole Kiki from Pete, because before he ever asked Kiki, do you love me? Seriously, Jesus asked Pete the same thing. Pete, do you love me? Like, do you love me? In a very real sense, he's saying, Pete, your heart is real, but you said you love me, but then you denied me three times before the cock crowed. So plus, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. When you are converted, the scripture says, then convert your brothers. But now once you receive the Holy Spirit, if you love me, Pete, then feed my lambs, because you're a preacher. You are the first pastor of the established New Testament church. Your bishops trace their lineage back to Bishop or Pastor Peter, who many receive as the first pastor. Remember Peter preached and 5,000 souls came down and joined the church. It was exploding. The first mega church was not the word. It was the first church. He says, if you love me, then preach. But some of you are not hardly preachers. If you love me, girl, then go in and usher for me. If you love me, then help in the parking lot. If you help me, if you love me, get that smile of yours to people as they walk in the front door. This is an amazing text, because I guess all I'm saying, I'm jumping right in downtown. I'm coming down because I want to stand there as you sign up for ministry. And that is this. Here it is. Write it down. Love is an action word. Every straight up sister in here that's ever been with a brother that's trying to touch and all that but don't want to help, eventually you're thinking, no, you lust me, but you don't really love me. Yeah, you're infatuated maybe with my shape or the way I make you feel, but if you love me, you'll show more action. Yeah, as my wife said to Ray, prove it with your action. Love is an action word. Whatever else I'm trying to do is to never be bombastic on Sunday morning. Now people beat you up, your boss tripping, your husband tripping, your mama tripping. Last thing I want to do is trip and put more demands on you. I want you to walk in here feeling the Spirit of God and a kind of liberty and love. At the same time, it is my job to give us a kind of holy challenge to say God is calling you to something. When you walk in here next weekend, the choir's going to be singing. I'm going to preach till my nose start bleeding. There are two types of sermons. Sometimes they're what I call gathering sermons. And the goal is for persons to walk the aisles and give their life to Jesus and know who he is. But then there's something called grounding sermons. Every pastor who sees and knows, you got to take some sermons and say thank you to all the guests that are here. But this is for the house. Because guests may come, they may not come back. But sometimes you got to preach to those who make up the body of Christ and make up who we are. And I am telling you, that I want to challenge you. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's run to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to save some time on the clock because we're going to walk over together to Field 2 and those downtown, and we're going to sign up together and get busy. You're going to love this if you stick with me. Watch this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. This is your spiritual act of work. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, be transformed, then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will. All right, say renew. When God renews your mind, he changes your mind. Yeah, you don't think like you used to think. And when them thoughts do come up, you rebuke them. If you go to the Word Church, I give this illustration every year. I'll keep giving it. It's the best one I know. I'm from Longwood. They tore Longwood down. I rolled past Longwood. Hadn't been down in a while. I had bought my mom a house, so didn't have to go as much. The place she used to live in was now gone. I'm riding down Kinsman and stopped and looked and said, I can't believe that's where I used to live. It don't even look the same. God says when he gets through with you, people who used to know you're going to stop and say, y'all just missed that. How do you know you've been renewed? Because people are going to have to take a second look. You know what? Tell somebody, say, I'm not what I used to be. Go ahead. But I'm not what I want to be. He's still working on me, but God is renewing me and changing me. The Bible says, be renewed, watch this, by the spirit of your mind. How many of you would be cold-blooded Christians if it wasn't for your mind and your body? Touch your neighbor, say, I'd be a good Christian if it wasn't for my body. Go ahead. If I could get rid of my mind, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I'm always renewing. The Bible says, be renewed. I'm going someplace that's critical. I urge you, look at verses 1 and 2. Look at verses 3, Romans 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but to have sound judgment. Here it is. As God has allotted to each, everybody say a measure. A measure. God has allotted. Who are you? You're from the hood. You from corporate America, you got a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, you're from corporate America, you're from down the way, bachelor's degree, master's degree, that's okay. If you give your life to Christ, he gives you a measure of faith. Some of y'all don't care about this, but some of y'all do. Yesterday, I'm in teen church. When I get through preaching, 10, 15 children just run down to the altar, and I thought to myself, some of y'all gonna like this. I said, let's have a baptism in teen church. I said, let's get one of them portable pools and tell every young person, bring your friend, bring your girlfriend. We're going to get people saved and baptize them. I'm watching all these young people who end up walking down a street with no sidewalk because that's how bad they want church. And I said to myself, when they got saved, whether they know it or not, God just gave them a measure. Three kinds of faith. You want to write? It's amazing how we Google ignorance and won't write substance. Go to your notes page right quick in your phone because I'm going to give you three levels of faith and do what you want to do with it. Number one, there is saving faith. That's the faith you had. Still have high, living with a cat, went to revival, Sunday school, Easter Sunday morning, whenever you said, Jesus, come into my heart, you had enough faith to get saved. But then number two, there is serving faith. Serving faith. That's when your faith has grown from just saving faith. Now you serving in ministry, you a better wife. Don't go ahead of me up there. Stay with me. You're a better wife. You're a better husband. All of that. What am I saying? God has given you serving faith in this sense. Now somebody can say something dumb in ministry and you don't quit. Yeah, you serving God. You're not serving man. Amen. Pastor, what makes you upset? Well, there's one thing gets under my skin. I'm going to be a little honest and transparent as a pastor. I've been doing this half my life. I hate when people quit church because somebody offended them. Yeah, I do. What happened? Well, you know, I just felt like Pastor could have hugged me longer. Lady Vernon walked right by me. Didn't nobody call me back. I said to myself, well, your boyfriend did you worse than that. You still with him? I know for a fact your mama's a trip. You forgave her. Your sister been calling your name since y'all was little, but you still look out for her. Church do one thing, and you through with church. Church is not heaven. Church is earth. Made up of people. But when you get enough faith to serve, can't nobody run you out to church. No, I'm serving God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that has made us and not we ourselves. We his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Watch this, millennials. Millennials. And his truth endures to all generations. Pastor, millennials about to quit church. Read your Bible. His truth endures. But I'm 25. His truth endures. I'm 19. His truth endures. I'm only 30-something. His truth endures. It's not just for grandma. This truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you preach it right, kids want it, teenagers want it, millennials want it. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that truth endures to all generations. But then there's a third level of faith, and that's supernatural faith. Yeah, that's a gift, the gift of faith the scripture speaks of. Lady Vernon has that. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. You know that person in your family that no matter what's happening, they always believe it's going to be all right? And you're sitting there like, no, it's not. It's going to work. How's it going to work out? I ain't got no money. It's going to be fine. You're like, how? They believe in God for your child when you're not. You're like, he's just the devil. No, he ain't, baby. He ain't the devil. They have faith, supernatural faith. So there are levels of faith. God has called us to different levels. And when it comes to ministry, say ministry. Now put the next scripture up, because I want y'all to see this, and I want the whole church to read this with me, and then I'm gonna be done. In his grace, God has given us different gifts. Come here, if you're here for the first time, you're gonna love this, to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out. If your gift is serving others, do it. If it's in teaching, then teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it is in giving generously, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility. If you have a gift for showing kindness, do that. Oh, y'all just missed that. If you have a gift of showing kindness, then what do I mean? Look at Pastor. Okay, here's the gifts I'm talking about. Number one, say prophecy. Prophecy. There's some people like to teach and preach without a mic. Man, I need this mic. If I don't get this mic at some point, we go on vacation, I have to come back because I got to preach. I love it. If I don't get a mic, I start preaching to the stove. I start making up sermons, beans and cornbread. Where did my towel go? Was having a fight. Cornbread got mad and stayed out all night. Oh, Lord, I ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. It just felt good to me. Most person's worst phobia is public speaking. Here it is, I love to do it. It's my call, I like to teach. I like to watch the light come on. I'm looking around when I'm preaching to see, is somebody catching it? Oh, she just caught it. She's gonna be a better woman now. It was plain, thank you, Holy Spirit. The light came on, teaching, preaching. Others, the Bible says, watch this, in serving. Others, the scripture says, in encouraging. Look at me downtown, say encouraging. Some people, your gift is to make other people feel better. Even in school, people like being around you. You make people smile. It's a natural God-given gift. You just like people. That's something called first touch. Say first touch. First touch ministry. The Lord gave us this name years ago. First touch means you're the first person I touch when I come into Word Church. Before I meet Lady Vernon and see her effervescent, beautiful smile and personality, before I hear my pastors preaching, the first person I had to meet was the guy in the parking lot. Then I had to come past that greeter. Then I had to touch some usher. And if your first touch is off, your whole church would be off. Pastors ask me, man, why my church ain't growing? I said, because it's being killed from the bottom. You preach decent, your wife is nice, but you got this mean usher that's running people away. There's a cat in the parking lot flirting with the girls. You don't even know. I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to say to you is, if you have the gift of encouraging or being kind, sign up for that. Amen. You don't have to preach and you don't have to sing. My nephew, I was so happy working 12 hours a day and got 3 small children. I go out there a couple months ago, see him in the parking lot. He said, I promised I'd be here at least twice a month at the 8 o'clock service. That's now his ministry. Now, if you are mean, avoid first touch. We have ministries for you. It's called I'm Mean. You just make tapes all day, just. Beautiful heart, just mean. Beautiful heart, got a good heart, just mean. Some of y'all know grandma, I got a good heart, but gonna fuss all day, just fussing all day. Give you anything, but just gonna fuss and be a little mean. That's okay, there's some people like that. You need to align with where your giftings are. The Bible says, in kindness. If you're a kind person, give it away. You don't know who need that in this church. I'm going someplace and I'm going quickly. I gotta leave some time on the clock because we gotta walk over together and walk outside and sign up today. This is for our people. Guests, You peep in from a peripheral, but you're going to like this because I want you to catch this. Give generously. The Bible says if your gift is giving, in other words, you don't preach, you don't teach, but you got some money. So you be asleep during the whole sermon to offering time. Oh, that's my part. What you need? What you need, player? What you need? How much, pastor? What you trying to get done? There's some people have the gift of giving. If that's your gift, then give. You look around and say, most people here can afford to give $1,000 for church, but I can. And so part of my gift is to give of myself and give of my resources. That's a gift. I'm going to show y'all something, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Y'all ready? Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Great class, by the way, those watching all over the world. The human body, let's read it together. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by what? One spirit, and we all share what? Now here's the part I need you to look at. Come here. Unintelligent people, please get on your phone and start texting or Facebooking or something. Smart people who want to grow, look right at me. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And what if your ear said I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the eye? Would it make it any less part of the body? Here's the part that makes me laugh all the time. What if the whole body were just one eye? What if you walked outside and saw an eye? 6'1" eye. No legs, no ears, no arms, but an eye. Now, it would be great eyesight, but he couldn't hear nothing. And he couldn't even move to where his sight was taking him. Preach right now. Because your sight is not enough. You need your legs to get you to your vision. That was over your head. That'll hit you like Thursday. It takes many parts. The pastor can see it, but you need parts of the body to walk to the vision, or all it is just vision. I can have vision, but I need the body to get me to the vision. So the vision needs legs. I'm going someplace. Don't hate on what somebody else is. We need that. All of you can't be me up here. The weight of what I do would put you in a mental institution. And I'm not exaggerating. The weight of what I do would have you in a mental institution. It's not your call. But my God, can you do some stuff I can't? Oh, my goodness. Thank you for looking right at me, because as I was reading this, my mind was just running, because verse 21 says that I can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Every year I tell you, women can identify with this about your pinky toe. You don't even paint it. You just dot it. You ought to get a discount on your pedicure. Give me 80% off, because you didn't use no polish. It's just ugly. You can't even find, just dot. Come on, women. You know, you don't even put lotion on it. It's just kind of. Proven medical fact, cut the pinky toe off, your walk will change. As insignificant as it seems, it has something to do with how you walk. The persons you think are least important, I can't wait till next weekend. We're going to have church in here. But today we're going to ground some people and grow our ministry. Watch what I told you. Already got about 200 people signed up for new ministries already, everybody. Praise God. And wait till this service ends and thousands of people go over there. Watch this. I'm here yesterday. There's this girl. You don't know her, but she's here for YF. She is not a young follower, but she's here for every YF. She's here for teen service. And when I first started the church, hear me, we were growing so fast, and I'm all over the world, and didn't really realize, you're just trying to keep it all together. I'm 31 with thousands of members, and don't even know who my leaders are, don't know who to trust, and don't know who can type, don't know who can pray, just grabbing the wrong people, hiring too fast, promoting too fast, and you're just trying to make it all stay alive. But somewhere around 5 years ago, as maturity kicked in, you have such an appreciation for people that other people don't. I'm walking around here yesterday like, what are you doing here, Pastor? This is what I love. You don't know her. She doesn't preach. But if she didn't set up teen church, if if she didn't cook for the babies, if she didn't change the diapers in the nursery, if that brother didn't show up in 0-degree weather and put cones out so that you don't run into each other when you're leaving, when people are walking through doing what they got to do, helping people change clothes during baptism, you think it's nothing, but once every few months, they just help people take off wet clothes and put on their new ones and pray for them and say, welcome to the kingdom, and go in the back, and it seems like they're nobody, but without them, we'd have to shut down. If the praise team didn't get up here and use their voice and sing 3-4 times, then service would not be what it is, and we still off, because you're not in yet. Because God gave you something, and we're not going to be whole till you get in place. There's thousands of people at the Word Church. Y'all don't need me. That's a trick of the enemy. How in the world are you making some company rich and not helping us? You're the supervisor. You got your own business. You're brilliant. The Bible talks about if in leadership, then lead. Some of you are natural leaders. Who are you? You rather just run it so it can be right. Praise God. You just rather run it, because if you got to wait for somebody else, you're going to fix it anyway. So wherever you are, you just fix up and say, no, y'all come up here. Let's do it this way. You're a natural leader. How you leading there but not leading here? I am not the smartest person here. Somebody can give me one idea that would change this ministry. Here you are making somebody you don't know richer. And your church needs you. We need your giftings and all that you are. Somebody say as we close, somebody say serving. Serving encompasses any area of ministry. When you walk over to that table, Pastor, I don't even know what to join. I don't know, should I usher? Should I be a part of baptism ministry? Should I help with P2P? Should I join YF? Should I help with the teens? Find the closest thing to your personality and just take a chance. But what if that's not for me? That's okay. All you gonna do, if a car is in neutral, I dare you to try to turn it. Try to turn a car in neutral. But now, if you got a car in drive, and you figure out you're going the wrong way, see, God can turn you when you're moving. God can turn you toward where you need to be. But if you're waiting on some angel to tell you what ministry to join, you're going to be sitting your derriere on that gray chair another 10 years. There is something we need from you. We need men on the praise team. Pastor, why? Because I don't like the Supremes. I came out one Wednesday, it's 7 women. Thank you, because what would we do without you? Not a man up there. Well, Pastor's son was working, one was in Akron, didn't have nobody. Where if I'm a man and I walk in your church and all I see is femininity on the stage, that tells me, oh, he one of them preachers just preach to women, don't really keep it real for brothers. But when I see myself on stage, and you don't have to be some effeminate brother to worship. We need some strong men who act like men. I know this might get me in trouble, but I like my men to carry themselves like men, and our ladies to carry themselves like ladies, so our children can see what real men look like in worship. And I want you to catch this. So we need men up here worshiping. Pastor, I can't sing. That's all right. We'll mute your mic. Just play it off. We got something called the mute ministry back there. We just mute his mic. I had a white guy for years, couldn't sing a lick. I said, we're gonna mute you. Just stand up there so we can get some more white people. Just mute them. I just need some white people, because see my white brother over there. If I'm white and I don't see myself on stage, then maybe they don't want me here. So yeah, I challenge all cultures and colors and creeds to say, let me show who God is. I'm finished. My challenge to you, and seasoned pastors know, you gotta do this sometime if you want a real church. Now you can just make everybody run and fall, and they'll walk right to their car and not join ministry, or you can take a weekend, look people in the face, and tell them, I need you. Every young person here, I need you in YF. If you're 18 to 35, you go over there and sign up for YF, and somebody going to call you this week. If they don't, you walk up to me and say, Pastor, nobody called me, and I will get it handled. If you're young, sign up for Outsiders Teen Ministry. I don't even want everybody the same age. I'm done. Look at me. When we first started 19 years ago, I was 30 years old. The whole church was 30. 15, 25, 30. Now, at 48, I'm so grateful to have all these 30-year-olds. But I don't want everybody 30 because y'all shout, but y'all broke. Y'all just 50 Cent. Somebody a little more seasoned that has put some money up, they may not jump as high, but they'll help with church anniversary. They'll help pay for the parking lot. But not just money. I told you before, Ray, you know this, Ray's always running home from college because at some point he gets tired of college food and college people, and he wants to see his mother-in-law, his grandmother. He wants to see me. He wants to see his little brother. Thank God for this intergenerational, because we need everybody. Look around. Most churches you go to, they either real old or a new millennial church with a pastor 30, everybody else is 25, 30, but there's something missing, because if all of us are 30, where the wisdom coming from? I need somebody been married longer than 6 years. I need to see somebody been married 30 years. But if I'm old, I don't want all old people around me, because all of us have started acting old. If you old and know it, raise your hand, praise God. Well, thank God for young people. They put some pep in y'all. I'm coming, y'all. Praise the Lord. I'm right with y'all. Come on. Woo! Praise the Lord. Are y'all listening? Hey, I'm done. Thank you. Let me leave some time on the clock. Look at me. There are three ways that you prove it. Three ways. Here's where they went ahead of me earlier. Now y'all can put it on the screen. Giving, serving, and praying. I'm finished. Don't walk. Don't nobody move right now. Don't nobody move. Look at me. Nobody move. Nobody gets hurt. Look at me. Say giving. Love gives. Love gives. Don't no woman want no man. Keep touching her. Have you ever had a man, listen to me, maybe he didn't really love you. He was just infatuated with you and lusted you. You provided some things that made him feel nice, but the reason why it ended is because there was never the action of love. At some point, you start saying it has to be more than that. This is not selfless. You being selfish. You get what you want from me, but it's not love. But then he would go home and pay his wife's bills and then come sleep with you. Because that's where the love was. That's where his daughters was. That's where his son was. So that's where he gave his resources. When you love something, you will give to it. Where your treasure is, where your heart is. Oh, I love the word church. Look at Pastor, number one, you changed my life. People know me all over the world. I ain't caught up in who I am. They only know me and that girl because Tithes and Offerings put us on TV. And then TV let me write books. And people only bought books because they saw me on TV. That helped me feed my children, put them through college. This church has meant everything to me. And I love you, so I give my own money. I'm still the best giver in our church right now. I'm proud to say it. Check the records. I'm still the best giver in our church all these years later, because half of what you give me, I give it back, because this church has been everything to me. I love it. Look at me. I love it. There are people in this church who give. This church means a lot to you. Elder Stacy told me something that I shall never forget. He said, look me in my eye, Pastor. I was a young dope boy. I've been selling dope since I was 12. I joined here at 22. He said, if it wasn't for your preaching, now I have a bachelor's degree, I have an associate's degree, I'm debt-free, my business is debt-free. He said, look at me. He said, Pastor, don't ever let the word church close. He said, because bros like me not going to any church. He said, listen to me, whoever you got to change, let go, fire, hire, redo, don't ever let it close, because everybody need a church like this in the city. There are some of you, look at me, I'm going to preach regular next week. But the series is called I Love My Church. Let's talk about why, and I'm finished. I love my church. There are some of you that know you come here when you don't want to go home. There are some of you don't hardly want to go over your mother's house. She's not that positive. You love her, but she ain't speaking nothing. Your cousins doing their thing. Teenagers walking down the street with no sidewalk because they get food. Yesterday was Thanksgiving dinner. Chicken, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese on a Saturday night. That cost us about $1,000 because we wanted to feed the kids. That's what giving and loving is. I love my church. You'll give some money to it. Some of you know this place means a lot to you. Pastor, look, I only stay with this girl because of your teaching. I'm only keeping myself I'm sexy and sexual, but I'll be thinking when I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to feel the Holy Spirit the same way. And this teaching has taught me to keep myself together and to love those who are unlovable. Giving. Somebody say serving. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to go sign up for some ministry. And then thirdly, somebody say praying. Who prays for your church? Who prays for your pastor? Say my name. I'm like Beyonce. Say my name.
K-A-Y-T.
K-A-Y-T.
Digital radio.
Digital radio.
Has arrived. Hear the difference.
Crystal clear sound.
Digital radio has arrived. Hear the difference.
Digital radio station.
K-A-Y-T.
Hallelujah. Because of his grace, his mercy.
Yeah, baby, they brought me.
worship you. I worship you.
Aren't you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Are you spending your tax refund as soon as you get it? Welcome to 360 Financial Services, where you can fix your credit, file your taxes, and increase your financial stability. Hi, I am Catrice Mason. Fix your credit by disputing every negative item on your credit report. No matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You'll be able to get a quote at no expense and file your taxes at 360 Financial Services. I'm also looking to partner with like-minded entrepreneurs who are looking to start their own business. You have the opportunity to be your own boss, make residual income, get paid weekly, make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere with no background check and no overhead. Start 2021 with new goals, excellent credit, and a cash advance. God is opening new doors for you at 360 Financial Services. 318-730-8441.
360 Financial Services is a proud sponsor of KAYT KQJO FM.
WNR Foreign and Domestic Auto Repair.
Any car, anytime. Foreign or domestic.
Mercedes-Benz.
Lexus.
BMW.
Jaguar.
Audi.
Acura.
Volvo, and many others.
Conveniently located at 3119 Masonic Drive, Suite C in Alexandria. All work is guaranteed and warranted for up to 30 days. For all of your maintenance needs on foreign or domestic automobiles, it's WNR Foreign and Domestic Auto Repair. You can reach Willie or Lisa Brown at 318-416-2158 or 318-451-2305.
We've been repairing cars for over 15 years.
Open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and by appointment only on Saturday. WNR Foreign and Domestic Auto Repair, 3119 Masonic Drive, across from the zoo in Alexandria. Another proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJO-FM.
Christian Missionary Baptist Church presents three nights of revival at two different locations starting Monday, April 12th at the Christian Missionary Baptist Church, Bunky, Louisiana. Guest pastor Mark Lewis, New Iberia.
My baby is the ruler of everything.
Tuesday and Wednesday, April 13th and 14th at Good Hope Baptist Church, 114 CL Bradford Street, Pineville, Louisiana. Guest pastor Thomas Besick of Dallas, Texas.
The lack of going forward can sometimes represent a backsliding spirit.
All revival nights will follow COVID restrictions and guidelines. So mask up and make it to three nights of revival at two different locations. Guest pastor Mark Lewis from New Iberia and Pastor Thomas Besick of Dallas, Texas. Contact Pastor Earl Williams for more information at 318-230-8423. Revival times, 6:30 p.m. both nights.
Christian Missionary Baptist Church is a proud sponsor of KAYT KQJO FM. Today's weather is brought to you by the Bargain Box for all of your appliance and furniture needs. Located at 1604 Military Highway in Pineville. 318-704-0020. The Bargain Box, helping your house feel like home.
This is Wade with the weather. Let's take a look at our Thursday 5-city forecast. We'll start in Shreveport. It'll be mostly sunny with a high at 82 and a low at 62. Monroe will be checking in with sunny skies with a high at 83 and a low at 63. We've got partly cloudy vibes in Lake Charles today with a high at 83 and a low at 68. Natchez, Mississippi is partly cloudy today with 83 as a high and a low at 65. Right here in the central city, we'll have mostly sunny skies with a high at 86 and a low at 65. And that's a look at your Thursday weather forecast. I'm Wade Hampton.
KAYT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
That's what the enemy is trying to figure out. How can you pull this off? They're trying to figure out, how are you still around? How are you still praising God? How are you celebrating God? You tell them I got on iron.
Thank you. takes a solid foundation, Lord, to anchor any building. Takes a root that runs deep, yeah, anchor the tallest tree.
Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 For over 27 years, Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellysServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
This is KAYT and KQJO-FM. Five cities strong all day long. 24/7.
That's my only station.